And we're holding on Peivav Amud Beis by the two dots, about 12 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, Hamvayish is a summa v'chola, that if a person causes boishes to a blind person, person causes embarrassment to a blind person, and that would mean whether he actually injured him, where the injury typically includes boishes as well, because there's a certain humiliation in from him, from then on going around with a missing limb or injured limb or something, or it can include with his boishes without anything else, as we, as the Gemara had mentioned earlier in the Perek, for example, somebody spit in his face or slapped him or what have you. Anyway, the Mishnah had said that if a person makes a blind, if a person causes boishes to a blind person, then he's chayev just like he would with anybody else. And the implication was also, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that that would apply not only, that that would also apply the other way around if the blind person caused boishes to somebody else. So the Gemara says, Masnisin deloy k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah then is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma Emloi Boishes, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that a blind person, there's a, that a blind person, there's no Boishes. And the Chach Hoyer, Rabbi Yehuda Poitim, Mechaibi Goldius, Mechaibi Malkius. And in the same vein, Rabbi Yehuda would say that a blind person, if he killed somebody accidentally, is not Chayev to go into Golus. And he wouldn't, if he did something that would make him chayev malchus, then he's potter. And if he did something that would make him chayev misas based, then he's potter. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's potter from all those things across the board. So obviously when our Mishnah says that a blind person has boishes, and that means, in other words, that means in both directions. It means that boishes caused to him is payable, but it also means that boishes that he caused somebody else is also payable. So Rabbi Yehuda evidently disagrees with that. So my time is Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that? Because Gomer einecha me'edim zayim. He makes a Xer Shava. Where do we learn the whole concept of Boshas from? We learn it from the fact that the Torah says, we talked about in the Gemara yesterday, a case where two people are fighting. The wife of one of them comes to intervene, and she causes Boshas to the guy who's fighting with her husband. And then the Pasuk says that you have to make her pay. Loi sochos einecha. Your eye should not have any pity on her. You shouldn't say, in other words, look, she's poor, she can't afford it, she didn't mean anything, she didn't mean anything bad, etc. No, you have to make her pay. So we learn a Gzeira Shava on the word by Edim Zengman, where it also says a similar expression, Loi Sochus Einach. Loi Sochus Ein Cha'olav. So the Gzeira Shava teaches us, Ma Hosam Sumin Loi, just like with Edim Zengman, they can't be blind, because obviously blind people can't give Edus. Av Hocha Sumin Loi, therefore the same thing Rabbi Yehuda learns by the Gzeira Shava, that the same thing would be as far as Boshes. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out in Gilead Ashas, wait a minute, can't you have a case where the person saw something before he became blind and was able to say Edus about it then, and now he became blind? Why should we say that he's excluded? So in fact, he brings that Tosfos elsewhere says, in fact, that yes, a person who's blind now is, Tosfos brings in Bava Basra, that a person who's blind now is Pasul Edus, even on things that he saw while he still had his sight. So that would answer the question neatly, but that's not universally agreed to, but nevertheless, that at least gives one possible way of answering, how the Gemara can take it as a given that a blind person is not subject to the concept of Edim Zongmin, or in general to the concept of Edus at all, because we're talking about that even when he saw the thing happen while he was still sighted, he wouldn't now be able to go and give Edus on it now that he's blind. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yehuda is learning a Gzeira Shava from that, and saying in turn from that, we also learn by the word Einecha that the same thing applies to Boshes. What about Mechayvig Golius? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that he's potter from Golus if he killed somebody accidentally? So the Tanya, this we have another Braisa says, the Pasuk describes a case where a person kills somebody else below the ois, without seeing. What does that mean? That means, in other words, a person who usually is able to see But now he's not able to. Prakal Summa, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to exclude a blind person who can never see. Rabbi Meir says no. The Rabbi says a Summa. On the contrary, the words Beloy Ra'os come to include a blind person. So my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Which, by the way, as far as the previous one, as far as the when we're saying that we, since we have Zeta Shalva from Einecha, then that means that we exclude blind people because they can't give Eidos. Tosfos says by the same logic, you're going to say, for example, that what about, for example, people who stole or avodim? They're not Potter from Boreshes, even though they can't give Eidos. And what about women, for that matter, also? So now the svara is that since after all the Zeta Shava is on the word Einecha, so we're going to make it have something to do with the seeing. So an Eved or Gazlan or whatever, the fact that they're Posel Eidos has nothing to do with seeing, whereas by blind person it is. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda learns the Zeta Shava now. Anyway, so again, we're saying as far as Golos, so the Tanya, B'loi Ra'ois Pratel Summa Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the word B'loi Ra'ois comes to exclude a blind person. Rabbi Meir Omer, L'Rabbis is a Summa, and Rabbi Meir says it comes to include, him. So, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that a blind person is excluded? On Malach, so he says like this. Look at the Pesukim. The Pesuk starts off, V'asher Yovei Yisrei Ehu B'Yar Lacht of Eitzim. You have a case where a person goes together with somebody else into the forest to chop wood. Now, that would include Vatilu Summa. The Pasuk is not specifying what the situation of these people is, so that would include even that the wood chopper is blind. So, and then he'd be Chai of Golos if he accidentally killed the other guy while he was chopping the wood. Kosa Rachmana Beloi Ra'os Lamaoti. Therefore, the Pasuk puts in the word below the ois that he can't see involve meaning to be mamayat to say that it has to be somebody who normally should have been able to see, and this time he wasn't paying attention, as opposed to a blind person who can't see in the first place. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda learns from that he's potter from Golos. Virab Meir, a mayor would answer back to that, on the contrary. It's true, the word below the ois should exclude a blind person. But the Pasuk also says that he killed him without his knowledge. So, and a blind person, he's not going to know whether the other person is within striking distance. Have a miut achamiut. So therefore, what you have over here is a miut achamiut. You have the miut from the word below the ois, and another one from the word bali das, so in miyot achamiyot alo rabbis. And when you have two miyotim, then instead it comes to add in. So therefore we do end up including back in the blind person. So now Tosfos asks the question over here, and they ask this in some other places as well, that in that case, why have the two miyotim in the first place? Don't say anything, and why would we think to exclude a blind person? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have one miyot, so we understand. But according to Rabbi Meir, they have two miyotim. What's the point? So elsewhere, Tosfos gives an answer that the fact is there could be other possible drashas that we would exclude him. So therefore, the ein miyot achamiyot, El Rabbis tells you ignore those other potential drashas. No, include the fellow. The Pnei Yeshua also points out that look, we would have said that we have a Gzeira Shavah that the Gemara is going to bring soon on the word Rosha to say that he's potter from Mrs. Bastin. We would have thought to apply the same thing over here as far as Malchus and as far as Golus, and therefore says the Mayor, we need the Miyot Achamiyot to tell us otherwise. Okay, so that's why they're arguing over Golus. What about Chayvei Mrs. Bastin? Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a blind person is potter from Mrs. Bastin? Ask your Retzeach may Chayvei Golius. Because you have the word Retzeach that it mentions in connection with somebody who's Chayvei Golius. It says, Loisitko Kofel and Nefesh Retzeach. Don't take a payment and commute his Golius. He has to go into Golius regardless. By Malchus, you also have, By Misa, you have Losikul Kofel and Nefesh Retzeach. By Golos, you have Lanus Shomer Retzeach. So you have the same word Retzeach is used for both of them. So therefore, we learn one from the other that therefore, if he's Potter from one, he's Potter from the other. What about Chayvei Malchus? Where does Rabbi Yehuda get that he's Potter from Malchus? Asya Rosha Rosha Mechayvei Mrs. Bastin. Because he learns in turn another Gzeira Shava from the ones who are Chayvei Mrs. Bastin, where you have the word Rosha by Malchus and you have the word Rosha by Mrs. Bastin. So therefore, so we have a chain of Gzeira Shavas Once he says that by one of them that he's potter, namely that he learned by the chayav galus, that he learns from beloy ra'os, then that chain of zera shabbos tells us the same thing that he's chayav by mrs. Spacekin, and the same thing he's potter by malchus. Whereas Reb Meir, who disagrees on all of those, he would say, to begin with, the beloy ra'os teaches us to include the blind person, because he said, ein miyot achamiyot. Therefore, the Gzeira Shavas would tell us to include him as far as the other things as well. They would say he's chayev on all those things. Tosfos discusses at some length over here. We do find other Gemaras where we see that the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda do in fact learn this Gzeira Shava from the word Rosha to the word Rosha, and they learn other dinim from it. Tosfos discusses at some length so how is Rabbi Yehuda going to learn those dinim and so on and so forth. So fine. So that's one braisa that says, so now we understand why Rabbi Yehuda says he's potter from Boshes, because he learns Gzeira Shava on the word Einecha from Einim Zomin. Then he says that they're also potter from various other things because of another chain of Gzeira Shavas. And so that explains why he said in the Mishnah why he says in the braisa that a blind person Boshes doesn't apply to. Actually, Tosfos points out that even Rashi would apparently agree to this. We don't mean another person who caused boshes to a blind person is potter. We mean the other way around. The blind person who caused boshes to somebody else is potter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the basis of this Gzeira Shava. Okay. Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shuma Ein Loi Boshes. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says that for a blind person, Boshes doesn't apply if he caused Boshes to somebody else. V'chein hoy Rabbi Yehuda Poitre, we call Dinim Shabbat Torah. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda would patter him from all Dinim Momenis in the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that actually he's potter in any case where he causes damage or injury or whatever. And the Gemara is going to explain now why that is. But Tosfos wonders in that case, then why does he need to patter him specifically from Boshes? Why does he need a Gzeira Shavah specifically for that? So actually, rather, Tosfos says, apparently Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Rabbi Yehuda originally held that he's potter specifically from Boshes, but now that he found another Gzeira Shavah that says that he's potter from all the dinim, then now it's true he doesn't need that original Gzeira Shavah on the word Einecha, and the other Gzeira Shavahs that we said before. So that's one possibility. And also another way Tosfos says is, look, after all, Rav Meir is saying that we say that the blind person is chayev in golus because beloy ra'os. So therefore, Rav Yehuda still needs his drasha to say that nevertheless we're mamayet. My time of the Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say in this last braisa that he's potter from all the dini mominus in the Torah? So the omakra, because the pasuk says regarding a person who killed somebody else, the shogig, the pasuk says b'shoftua eda, the eda, meaning the beistin, should judge bein hamako bein goyel adam, between the killer and between the goyel adam. The goyel adam is saying you killed my relative deliberately, and therefore I can go kill you. Meanwhile, the guy is saying I did it accidentally. So Beistin is responsible to judge the claims and counterclaims between them and look for the evidence. So Ala Mishpatim Eila, regarding these laws. So we learn from that, says Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Sheyeshnim B'Makor V'Goyel Adam Yeshnim B'Mishpatim. So any case where the dinim, where he hits it, where any case where there is the difference, where there is the argument between the Makka, between the one who killed, and the Goyal Adam, Yeshne B'Mishpatim, since the passage says, Ala Mishpatim Ha'ela, so we learn from that, that only then is he Chayev in the various other Mishpatim, the Dinim Mominus. Kol She'enim B'Makko, for Goyal Adam, since, as we said before, a blind person is potter from Misas Beistin because of Yehuda's earlier drasha. Therefore, that implies, because of the word Mishpatim, that he's potter from all the other Mishpatim as well. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, in this last braisa that we just quoted, that he's actually potter from all the Dinim Mominus in the Torah. So not just Boshes, and as Tosfos points out, maybe he doesn't even need the drasha, maybe he doesn't even need the Gzeira Shavah for Boshes anymore, but as far as the other things, we say that he's potter from from Golos and from Nisus Basin and from Malkus, so therefore he's Potter, therefore Rabbi Yehuda learns he's Potter from all the other Dinim Amanus as well. Tanya Idah. Then we have yet another Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omasuma Emle Boshas. In yet another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person does not have to pay Boshas. V'chein hoy Rabbi Yehuda Potter mikol mitzvahs ha'amuras v'torah. And Rabbi Yehuda would actually patter him from all mitzvahs that are said in the Torah. So now we're going by stages over here. First we had a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said he's Potter from Boshas. First we had a Braisa that said Rabbi Yehuda says he's Potter from Boshes and from Golos and Malchus and Nisus Bastin. Then we had another one saying that he's Potter from all the Dinim Mominus. And now we have another one where Rabbi Yehuda is saying he's Potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, what do we mean by that? There is a lot of discussion about that. Does that mean literally the guy can do whatever he wants and he's not chayav mitzvahs b'chlal? So that he's going to be like a goy. So Tosfos says, that look, midrabanan. So Tosfos learns actually that look, midrabanan. At least he's higher than them. Which in that case, then other rishonim deal with the question. Well, if he's not chayiv in any mitzvahs, how can you be chayiv him in mitzvahs to rabbanan? The whole point is that how do we know? You have to listen to the rabbanan. Is based on what the pasuk says that you have to listen to them. So if he's potter. So first of all, you have like this. There is a rishon called the Sefer HaMachriya, who learns that he's potter from mitzvahs loisasa as well. So in that case, you have the question: if he's potter even from loisasa, then how can he be chayiv in mitzvahs? How can he be chayiv in mitzvahs d'rabbanan either? After all, the whole thing of listening to the chachamim on mitzvahs is based on the concept of loisasa, that you're not allowed to go away from what they say. So it's not just the Machriya. There are a number of other Achronim as well. There are a number of Achronim that deal with this. Anyway, so one point is, though, there are Achronim we'll talk about. Still, obviously, even if he's not technically chayim in the mitzvah of Lois Sosser, still a person has to realize that Hashem wants him to listen to the Chachamim. In other words, it's more of a logical thing. It's not so much because he has a technical mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim, but nevertheless, he has to do what Hashem wants, and therefore that would include that he has to keep the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, as Tosfos says. With that said, there are Rishonim who learn, and Tosfos over here also talks about that maybe in fact he's only potter from the Tosfos doesn't say in so many words, but Tosfos and the Rashba and others say he is chayev in lois saser. That might imply that in general he is chayev in the mitzvahs lois saser. So in short, you have a machlokas whether when Rabbi Yehuda is saying, now the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda anyway, as I was going to go on to say, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, are we saying that he's potter from all mitzvahs, eseh and lois eseh, or are we saying, and therefore the only way to be mechayev him is d'rabbanan, and maybe not even based on the technical requirement for him to keep mitzvahs d'rabbanan, but rather just because, practically speaking, the Eved to put you in the world, he expects certain things of you, or is it that in fact he would in fact be chayev in the lois eseh, as even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only the eseh he's potter from? Now, as the Gemara is going to point out, the halacha is not like that, which means, in other words, for example, that a blind person is chayav in all the mitzvahs. So, for example, this has many implications in halacha. A blind person can daven by the omud and be motzi people. A blind person can blow shofar and be motzi people. The truth is, Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, and Magen Avraham brings, that maybe we should be choshesh l'chumra when it comes to mitzvahs d'araisa, like tkiyas shofar, and not allow him to, but in practice, the Alter Rebbe, for example, never mentions that concept, and neither do most other poskim. So a blind person can do all those things. A blind person can lead the Seder, as the Gemara is going to point out, Rabbi Yosef was blind and he used to lead his Seder. So in general, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, there's this discussion to what extent do we mean that he's actually potter. So, Amr of Shisha Breid Rav Idi, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that he's potter of all the mitzvahs? Because the pasuk says these are the mitzvahs, the chukim and the zayis hamitzvah, chukim hamishpatim, whatever, and the chukim and the mishpatim. Since Rabbi Yehuda already established that he's potter from mishpatim based on the previous limud, so therefore kol sheyeshnim mishpatim yeshnim mitzvahs v'chukim. Rabbi Yehuda learns that only when a person is chayev in mishpatim and dinei mominus is he also chayev in mitzvahs v'chukim. Kol shebechol she'enim in mishpatim, enim in mitzvahs v'chukim. If he's potter from mishpatim, as in the previous derasha, then Rabbi Yehuda would learn that he's potter from mitzvahs and chukim as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Meresh Hava Amina. Rabbi Yosef says that I used to say, Manda Omar Halacha Ki Rabbi Yehuda Da Amas Suma Potem Min HaMitzvahs. If someone were to tell me that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person is Potem from Mitzvahs, if somebody were to tell me that, Rabbi Yosef says, I originally thought, Ka'av Dina Yoma Tova L'Rabbanan. I would make a yomtiv, I would make a yomtiv suda for the Talmudim. My timer, why? Do I have to dinner? Because after all, I'd say I have a great schus. I'm not commanded to do the mitzvahs, and yet I'm doing them. So isn't that a great milah that I should be celebrating and thanking Hashem for that privilege? Because Rabbi Yosef, as we know, was blind. Vahashta, the shamis lahod Rav Hanina. But now that I heard what Rav Hanina said, the Amr Rav Hanina, Godol HaMitzuv HaVa'osim, Misha Einim HaMitzuv HaVa'osim, Rav Hanina says that a person who keeps the mitzvahs because he's commanded by Hashem is greater than a person who does them even though he's not commanded. And you have a variety of different reasons. We learned this Gemara and Kedushin as well. There are a number of different reasons, among other things, that a person who's obligated and a person who's commanded in the mitzvahs has much more of a concern, is he doing them right? That itself is a schus for him. There's the fact that his yetzer hara bothers him more about it. Apichsidus is the idea, because when he's doing it because Hashem said so, then he's connecting to Hashem at Hashem's level, whereas when he's doing it completely on his own, then he's only connecting at a human level, which can only go so high. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef says, now that I found that out, I realized, on the contrary, the halacha, it's better to be commanded by Hashem to do mitzvahs. So now he says, Man dot malid ain halacha could Rabbi Yehuda. So now if somebody tells me for sure the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, now to be sure, most likely the halacha is not like him in the first place because he's a yachid, but still, if somebody definitively tells me the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, avdina yom tovel rabbanon, that's when I would make the party and the celebration for the chachamim of my yeshiva. My time to kimat gedina is the agrat fei, because now that I'm commanded in mitzvahs, I have a much greater schar. Since when do you do mitzvahs for schar? What happened to shaloy amanas l'kavah pras? So there's a couple of possibilities. The Enel Yo on Ein Yaakov says that, Rabbi Yosef didn't want to hold himself as being one of those people who's keeping shaloy amanas l'kavah pras. He wanted to say, even if I'm only on the level of amanas l'kavah pras, then nevertheless it deserves celebration. But there's also, when we talk about schar, there can be different kinds of schar. You know, we have schar mitzvah, meaning the reward for a person doing a mitzvah as a closer connection to Hashem and the ability to perform more mitzvahs. That's the kind of schar Rabbi Yosef can be talking about, the schar, namely that he gets to be closer to Hashem, which is the purpose that a person should be doing mitzvahs for, and the fact that he has the opportunity to do more mitzvahs, and therefore Rabbi Yosef is happy to have that kind of reward.
He wasn't blind, was
he? He was blind. That's the whole point. Okay. Mishnah says, but again, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like the chachamim, so therefore a blind person is just as much chayiv in mitzvahs as anybody else. What you do have is, there are certain mitzvahs that, for example, it says by Havdalah, a blind person can't make the bracha, because that has to be that he's actually benefiting from the light and he's not. As far as Kiddush Levana, there's actually a machlokas aposkim, whether he can say Kiddush Levana or not. So, because on the one hand, he can't see the moonlight. On the other hand, other people can see it, and the world benefits from it. So the Mishnah Berurah brings, based on that, that what he should really do is just have somebody else say the bracha for him, and he'll answer amen in order to be on the safe side. Okay. Mishnah says, now, in the previous Mishnayos, we've talked about the Chamisha Dvarim, the up to five types of payments that a person has to pay when he injured somebody else. Again, you have Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Boishas, which so far in the Perek we've been defining how exactly those are evaluated and paid out. So the Mishnah says, Zech Choymeh Ba'odim B'Shur, you have, here you see a Chumrah in a person over a Shur, that a person has to pay all five of those things, or up to all five of those things, if he injured somebody else. And furthermore, you have another thing as well, which we've talked about earlier in the Masechta, namely that if a person injures a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, then he has to pay dmei vlodis. He has to pay the value as based in calculates of how much the babies would have been worth. Essentially, we said how much she would have been worth pregnant versus not pregnant, and we have the different details within that. But only a person does that. A shur and a mashalim alam nezek or potim mid mei vlodis. When it comes to a shur, if Reuven's shur injures Shimon, then Reuven is paying only nezek. He's potter from all the other things, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that when it says that the Torah describes those various punishments, the tsar and so forth, it uses the expression ish ba'amisoi, a person injures somebody else, implying not a shur. And mei vlodis, it says the same thing, anoshim, meaning not shvarim, not oxen. So therefore, so there's a chumra where a person would be paying all those different kinds of payments, whereas a shur not. More cases. Hamakes oveves imay v'lo also behen chabura. Another case where a person is chayev in chamisha dvarim would be where he hit his father or his mother, but he didn't actually cause a wound that would bleed. We touched on this in the Gemara yesterday, when the Torah says that, where the Torah mentions in Parshas Mishpatim that a person hits his father or his mother, he's chayev misa, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns out based on other psukim that it means only if he caused an injury that caused bleeding. Or bruising, which bruising is after all also bleeding just under the skin. So here, where he didn't do that, then he's not chayiv nisa. Therefore, he'd be chayiv in the chamisha dvarim. So, because in other words, if he was chayiv nisa, then we'd say kam le d'rabim. But he's not chayiv nisa. Therefore, he's chayiv in however many of the chamisha dvarim apply. Nezek, in other words, obviously might not. So we learned in the Gemara yesterday, there could even be a case where he's chayiv in all five things, namely the Gemara had described where he took some nosha, which is some kind of cream or chemical or whatever, and put it on his father or his mother's head and made them become bald. That it kills the hair and prevents it from ever growing back. And then you have all chamisha dvarim, because now you have there's nezek, it's a permanent change, there's tsar, there's ripui, etc. So therefore, you could even have such a case, even though there's no bleeding, where he's chayev in all five things. And the Mishnah continues, v'choyvo v'chaveir v'yemek kippurim. Similarly, if he injured somebody else, on Yom Kippur, now, had he done it on Shabbos, then he would be chayev misa, because then he's doing a malacha of, shoychet, because he's causing somebody else an injury, which is a tolda of killing. But here it's Yom Kippur, so therefore there's no chayev misa. The maximum penalty for violating Yom Kippur is kares. So we have elsewhere, the Gemara points out, Ksuvas and some other places, the Gemara brings an opinion of Reb Nachunya ben Hakana, who says that even Kores is enough to trigger Kom Levit Rabimine, but the Halacha is not like him, and our Mishnah is not going like him. Only Mrs. Basdian triggers Kom Levit Rabimine. Therefore, in the case of Yom Kippur, Chayev B'Kulon, he'd be Chayev in all the penalties because he's not Chayev. The Meiri, by the way, adds, based on other Gemaras, that even if they wound him and said, don't do this, you're going to be chayav malchus, and usually we have the concept that a person doesn't get malchus and also has to pay money, but here the Gemara elsewhere says that a choyvel, a person who injures, the Torah adds that in all cases, unless there's misas based in, he has to pay tashlumen, so therefore, yes, here he might get the malchus, but he'd still be paying the tashlumen. Okay. Mishnah continues, if a person injures an Eved Ivri, Chayev B'Kulon Chutz Min HaSheves V'Zman Shu Shaloi. So now he'd be Chayev in all of them, except if it's his own Eved Ivri, then he's Potter from Sheves. Because Sheves is the amount of time that the guy is not going to be able to work. Well, if it's his own Eved, that's his loss, that's not the Eved's loss. So if the Eved Ivri belongs to somebody else, then sure, he has to pay to somebody else for Sheves. But if it's his own Eved Ivri, he'd be potter from Sheves. Either way, that was higher than all the other things, because an Eved Ivri basically belongs to himself. It's only that he's temporarily working for 6 years, or until Yovel, or whatever, for somebody else. And if he injures an Eved Knani that belongs to somebody else, then he's chayiv in all of them, because this Eved Knani is sort of like a half-Jew. He has had Mila and Tvila, so he's considered to that extent like Yisrael, and therefore the regular rules of chayiv v'chaveri would apply to him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eimer Avodim Boshes. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that there's no Boshes for Avodim, as we'll learn in the Gemara on Daf Peches, Bez Hashem, why Rabbi Yehuda would say that. We touched on that in the Gemara yesterday, and in the Gemara had mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda would hold there's no boishes for them. However, we had a case there in the Gemara where a person intended to cause boishes to an Eved and instead caused boishes to a Ben Chorin, where there we said that the Braisa had said he pays the Ben Chorin what would have been paid to the Eved. Even Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara had said, would agree with that. Namely, what we do is we figure out, well, how much would have been paid to the Eved were it not for the fact that he's an Eved. And Rabbi Yehuda is therefore saying he's potter, and that amount is what you pay to the Ben Chorin. So that's how it is. Next. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah continues. Cheresh shot of a cotton, p'giyosan ra. If you end up tangling with a cheresh shot of a cotton, then you're in a bad situation. If you encounter them in a matter of nizokin, then you're in a bad way. Because if you injure them, you're chayev, same way as if it was a regular person. But if they cause injury to you, then they're potter because they don't have das and they don't have the das to know that they're causing injury and they can't be bechal. You can't punish them. And therefore they're potter. So in short, in other words, the Mishnah in effect is saying, if you get into a fight with a cheresh shot of a cotton, realize you're going to end up the worse for it, because you're going to end up paying them for any injury or damage that you cause. Meanwhile, they're going to be potter for anything you do to them. On the other hand, I'm not meaning necessarily a fight, but whatever. The point is, if you encounter them in a matter of nizakim. On the other hand, Eved v'ha'isha p'giyosan ra, now you have a different case when it comes to an Eved Knani, or a woman, then also p'giyos and ra, you also may not be in the best situation because hachoyv ben chayev, you're going to be chayev for hurting them. Behem shechol ba'achem p'turim, they also are potter because they don't have mammon of their own. However, avol mishamin la'achazman, the difference is unlike the cheresh shot of a cotton, where we don't make them pay now, where we don't make them pay ever. With the Eved or the Isha, eventually they will have to pay. Eventually, if she gets divorced, or widowed for that matter, or if the Eved gets free, and now they have Nechasim, they will have to pay. Now, even Rashi points out, what about the woman's Nechasim Alug? The answer is, they're still Meshuvah to her husband, because her husband still gets them as far as still is entitled to pay this for them. And if she dies before him, he Yashins them. Therefore, we can't say that they're available to pay off the Nezek right now. So we're saying that Turim, they're potter right now only because they don't have any assets. But unlike the Cheresh Shot of a Cotton, who are never going to be Chayev here for something that they did when they were Cheresh Shot of a Cotton. Obviously, if a Cheresh recovers or a Shot recovers, etc., then from then on, they're going to be Chayev, but they're going to be potter from what happened beforehand. So on the other hand, the Eved or the Isha, since they are Bnei Das, they are in principle Chayev. Because right now, they have no assets, but eventually, if they get any assets, they're going to be paying. By the way, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch in this connection that b'chlal, if a child committed an issu when they were young, they don't, in principle, they don't have to do tshuva on it when they get older, but nevertheless, it would be good for them to do so. But nevertheless, we can't be mechayev then yet. The Mishnah continues. Nisgarsha ishin eshtachar eved. So exactly that. If the wife is divorced or the eved is free, chayav and l'shalom. Now they become chayev to pay because now they have assets of their own. Continues the Mishnah. What about if he injured his parent and he did cause a wound, which makes where blood came out or where there was a bruise? So then he's chayav misa. Or he injured somebody else on Shabbos, potter mikolam, and he's potter from all the payments. Because he's chayav misa, and therefore we have kamle v'derat minei.
We're talking about the bruises.
We're talking about the son. So in the case of the parents, we're talking about the son. So the son hit his father or mother and caused them a bruise or an injury. No, we're talking about a goblin. A cotton is not chayiv misa. No, okay. Now we're saying something else. Now we're saying an adult son or daughter who hit their parent and caused a wound is chayiv misa, therefore they're potter from the pains. Unlike earlier in the Mishnah, where we said v'loyos ban chabura, where we said he didn't actually injure them, he didn't actually cause any bleeding, so then there's no chayiv misa, therefore he's chayiv for payment. Here it's the other way around, there's misa, therefore there's no payment, because kom lebe didab. Now, we talked about yesterday, what about the fact that he's mekalkel? On the face of it, you're only a person is chayev for breaking Shabbos only if he did a constructive thing, not if he did something destructive. You have a number of malachas of Shabbos that involve destroying in order to create. So amanas livnos, moichak amanas lichtov, etc. But over here, the point is, that when he's hitting the other person, he's doing something very wrong. He's being over on an Isser, but he's doing it in a way that makes him calm down and feel better. Oh, I got the other guy. Therefore, that can be considered a constructive enough thing for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos, that therefore he'd be chayav Misa or whatever penalties of Shabbos. So again, he's chayav Misa, therefore he's part of the Tashlomin. So Mipnei Shurim Nidim Menachshei, because he's chayav Misa. And the Mishnah finishes off, V'achoyvah be'eved Knani Shaloi, if he injures his own Eved Knani, Potter Mikulon, then he's Potter from all the payments because the Eved completely belongs to him, and therefore there's nothing to pay. Tosfos actually points out that the master would at least be hired for the refuah for the Eved. But okay, what we mean is, in other words, that the later on in the paragraph, we're going to talk about a case, let's say Beis Din brought an expert, and they figured it's going to take 5 days for him to recover, and therefore we need 5 days worth of doctor's bills. In the end, the guy recovered faster than normal, and he's good, and he's back on his feet in 3 days, so we say he's able to keep the extra money. You were saying, though, the master, sure, he doesn't pay for the doctor's bills for as much as it takes to heal the Eved, but he doesn't have to give the extra, even though Beis Din, to begin with, had evaluated that it would take longer. So the Gemara says, Bomine Rav Elazar mei Rav, hachoyvo v'bas ktana shel acherim, suppose a person injures a young daughter that belongs to somebody else. We know that a girl, as long as she's a katana or a naira, then she's still under her father's rishus. So Rashi points out, if she's a gdola, then there's no question the money belongs to her, just like any other person. But when she's a katana, it's actually the Pnei Yeshua discusses what would be the din with a Naira. A Naira is in her father's Rishus for some purposes, but not for others. But in any case, here the question is specifically about Ketana. So Chabala Lami, who is he paying the money for the injury for? The question is, Mi Aminin Kivin Da Akne Lerachmana Shvach Ne'urim Mo'av? Do we say the Torah is Machne all the benefits that come during her katnos from Nairus to her father? Because the Torah said, Vinureha Besaviha. And for example, her money of Kedushin goes to the father and so forth. Chavola Nami Da Abu Ahavi. So maybe also the money for injuries goes to her father as well. My time at the after some kasva, and we can say the logical reason behind it would be because, after all, the other guy, by injuring her, now makes her worth less. Another person is less who's going to offer kedushin money for her is likely to offer less because now she doesn't look as attractive. So in that case, so therefore maybe the father should get this money as well. Or maybe we can say no. The benefit of Ne'urim, the fact that he can accept Kedushin on her behalf to whoever he wants. So you can say that is what the Torah gives him, in the sense the boy mimsal al mukeshchin mati masar. Conceivably, he could marry her off to a mukeshchin, to somebody who's covered with boils, because the father has the absolute right to accept Kedushin on behalf of his daughter. And so therefore you can say he has that ability to marry her off to whoever he wants. Therefore, any money that comes from Kedushin would go to him. Avo Chabalah, but when it comes to injuring her, given the Iboim Schabbalah like Matzi Chabal, the fact is he's not allowed to injure her. The fact is a Yid is not allowed to injure another one without cause. After all, Rashi points out that you have a pasuk that says, in connection with somebody who's chayiv malchus, the pasuk says lo yosef, you're not allowed to add extra malchus, pen yosef, because he's going to be over if he does. So we learn from that any case where a person has no right to hit somebody else, then he's not allowed to. So in that case, fine, he's allowed to hit her when necessary, like a father does to his children, but not to actually be choyvel and to actually cause an injury. So he's not able to do that. So therefore, loy kanya le rachmana. Maybe therefore the Torah is not machna him the money from that in the first place. So that's the question that Rabbi Elazar asked. Omale, so Rav answers him, loy ziksa ha Torah la'ab el shvach ne'urim bilvad. The answer is like your first possibility. The only thing the Torah is mezaka to the father is the money of the kedushin, but not this kind of thing. Well, the Gemara says, Eisvei. So Rabbi, yeah, so Rabbi Lazar asks Rab the following question, or there's a different Girsa, Mesvi, that there are Achronim who say the correct Girsa should be Mesvi. They ask the question, namely not that Rabbi Lazar accepted the answer from Nab, but in a later generation when the Chachamim were discussing, when the Amoraim were discussing it, they came up with the following question. The Mishnah had said, Achroivo be'Eved Ivri, a person injures an Eved Ivri, chayev b'kolam. He said he's chayev to pay all of the payments. Chutz min hasheves b'zman shu shaloi, with the exception of sheves when the eved belongs to him himself. Because again, then the sheves means that the eved now there's a period of time when he can't work. Well, that's a loss to the master himself. And since the master himself is the one who's injuring him, then therefore there's no sheves to be paid. So, by the same logic, shouldn't the sheves at least be, shouldn't the father at least be, shouldn't the father at least get the sheves? So you have this other person went and injured the daughter. Among other things, she has sheves. There's a period of time when she can't do whatever normal work around the house she should. And usually the father is entitled to that. So therefore, in that case, the father at least should be entitled to that sheves. Omar Abaya says, yeah. Sure, Rav would agree when it comes to Sheves, given that anything she earns during that time, anything she makes until she becomes a Begeris, belongs to her father. So yeah, in other words, we would say that Rabbi Lazar's question to begin with was not on Sheves. The question was about the other Nizokin. And the Nemuka Yosef actually wants to say that really Rabbi Lazar's question was primarily about Nezek. He wasn't asking about Tsar and Boshes. There'd be little question that those belong to her. She's the one who personally suffered the Tsar. She's the one who personally suffered the Boshes. So therefore we could say that she's getting those. The question would have mainly been about Nezek. And now we're saying as far as Sheves, then there's nothing to talk about because the father definitely would get the Sheves because he's entitled to anything she earns. But then he asks him another question, or again, Mesri, maybe that they ask the question. Another Braisa says, Hachoivel v'dnoi godol, if a person injures his son who's already a godol, yitim miyad, then he has to pay him right away, because that son is like any other person, that he has to pay him right away like any other yid. Bivnoi cotton, but if it was his young child who's still a member of the household, Yasalois Sgula, then instead of paying him, now the difference is the Torah gives the father a reshus over his daughter. Because it says, the Torah doesn't give the father such a reshus over his son. For example, as far as being a kaddish, the father can't accept kiddushin on behalf of his son. B'chlal, there's no such thing as kiddushin for a cotton. Only for a ketana is there kiddushin, and the father is able to accept it. So now when it's his child, when it's his own son, so yasalahem sgula, so then what he should do with the money, he should make a sgula out of it, which further on the Amud, we're going to explain what that means exactly. At the bottom of the Amud. Anyway, the point is, and then the Braisa continues, hachoivo b'bite ketana potter. Now, if he injures his daughter when she's a ketana, then he's potter. Not only that, but if anybody else injures her, he's chayav to pay the father. So we see from this braisa that it all goes to the father, not like Ravid said. And the answer is hachinami b'sheves. You can answer the braisa. It doesn't mean everything. It means as far as the sheves, whereas we said, since her Maisia Deha goes to her father, therefore the Sheves, which means a lack of Maisia Deha, also goes to her father, but not necessarily the other things. Those might well go to her, or maybe you would have the same Sgula rule that we're going to say with a boy would apply to this. Okay. Now the Gemara says, no God or Yitzin let me yad. So you're telling me that if it's his son who's already a Godo, then he should pay him right away, and the son, in other words, just keeps it and does whatever he wants with it. But I have a contradiction. Another braisa says, if somebody injures a son or a daughter of somebody else, if the person they injured, if the nizek is an older person, then you pay them right away. And if it's ketanim, then you also make a segula. You put away the money for something that they can use later in life, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. But if it was his own children, then he's potter. And that means whether they're gdolim or ketanim. So what's the deal? So the answer, like Kasha, it depends. The second Braisa is talking about where these children are smuchim al shulchanai, they're dependent on his table. He supports them. So now we have a problem called Ava. If we don't have them give these payments to him, then he's going to say, why should I bother supporting you anymore? You want to keep your own money for yourself? Then fine, go ahead and support yourself from now on. So therefore, midrash rabbanon, we're going to say that the father gets it. Whereas the first braisa was talking about where they're not smuchim al shulchanai, so therefore there's nothing to talk about, then there's no eva, so therefore he has to pay them. So now that's what we're saying, ketanim versus gedolim. The problem is if you give ketanim money, they're not going to know what to do with it. You want to do, when we said skula before, the Gemara is going to explain at the bottom of the Amud, that it means you want to do something with that money which will benefit them later in life. We're going to see exactly how that is, but the point is, so now there's the difference. So again, a father injured his bnei gadol. If that bnei gadol is not actually being supported by him, then he has to pay him. There's no problem of Ava because he's anyway not supporting him. But if he's smuchim al shulchanai, so anybody else injured them, they'd have to pay the father because of the problem of Ava, and therefore the father himself is potter because anyway it would be like taking from one pocket and putting into the other. Tosfos compares this with the Gemara that we're in Bava Metzia, which we'll have in a few weeks, Be'ezras Hashem, about cases where a kohen finds something, and you have machlokes in the Gemara over there, whether it's a difference between an actual gadol versus kohen, or whether you're talking about whether he's supported or not. And Tosfos discusses the comparison of that with the comparison of that with our Gemara over here. That one thing is, you have to keep in mind, in the case of a metzia over there, if this child keeps it for himself, after all, the father's not losing out anything that he doesn't have to pay out. He's just not getting something that he would have. Whereas over here, he's actually having to pay out, so therefore there would be that difference to factor in. So the Gemara says, Ihochi Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, B'mai ukimta l'kamaisa. So what are you telling me then? The first braisa is talking about b'she'in smuchan al shulchanai. The first braisa you're talking about where they're not supported by him, and therefore that's why we're saying that if it was b'noi gadol, he has to pay right away, and b'noi katan, he has to make a skula out of it. The problem with that is, Ihochi Ema Seifa. What about though? The braisa had continued, Achovo b'ritek tana potter, that if he injured his young daughter when she's a tana, then he's potter. And was saying that if other people injured her, they would have to give her father. Shouldn't he have to give it to her? If in the first braisa we're talking about where she's a tana, but she's already self-supporting, then the money should be paid to her. The boy of Mizoni. After all, she requires Mizoni. She's supporting herself. So why should the father get the money in that case? Now, even according to the opinion, which we learned in Gittin and Machlokas about this, can a master say to his Eved Knani, you're going to work for me, and I'm not obligated to support you, you go around and beg for tzedakah or whatever. Nevertheless, Hani Mili Eved Knani. That would only be by an Eved Knani that you could do that. Because you can tell him, you go away, you work for me all day. In the evenings, you can go circulate around. Sachar, like the word a soicher means a merchant, but the basic meaning of sachar means to circulate around. So a soicher, a merchant, is called that. He circulates around looking for business. So in the evenings, when you're not working for me, then you can go circulate around and go from door to door and ask for tzedakah. Rashi actually gives two lashonis. One that it means sabev ve'echol chazor al psachim, go circulate around among the from one door to another to collect tzedakah. Loshanacha, or another expression, sachar sabev v'pischeir, go circulate around among the doors in the city. That might mean like to get yourself some work or something. Whatever the point is, in other words, so according to that opinion, he's able to say that the Rashash explains Rashi's first explanation would make it that Sabbath would mean the Lashon Haseba. You're going to find somebody you can eat by, somebody who's willing to give you food, so fine, you can recline there and eat. I don't have to support you. But
once you're making money, then probably the money would go
to the problem is the money would go to the master. But let's say, for example, so somebody, first of all, somebody could give him money. I'm a nasha in ladab chodoshos. That's on condition your master doesn't have. But anyway, the point is that the point is he's saying that I don't have to support you. You can figure it out yourself. So by an Eved Knani, you have the ability to do that. Avol be Eved Ivri, but even by Avol Eved Ivri, but even by an Eved Ivri, you can't do that. The pasuk says that he has it good with you, and we learn from that Imcha be Meichel, Imcha be Mishta, that it means he has to be equal to you in food and drink. So therefore, you can't tell him Asay mi ve'en izanach. So therefore, you can't even do it by an Eved Knat, by an Eved Ivri. Tosfos points out a different gusa that brings a different pasuk in this connection. Anyway, the point is that loy koshik and bita, how much more so his daughter that he can't say asei mi ve'en izanach. So we're back to the question: if the first brisa is talking about when even if the first brisa is saying that regardless he has to that he's allowed to keep it, and we can assume the first brisa is talking about smuchim al shulchanoi, fine, then we can understand why he gets the payment. But if you're telling me the first brisa is talking about ein smuchim al shulchanoi, and that is why if the child is a gadol and he pays him right away, and a katan he puts it away as a segula, then by a bnei ktana, by Bitei Ktana, why is the father getting the money? If she's self-supporting, she should get all the money, including Shevis. The answer is, K'da'omah Rav Breidin of Ula, L'nitzrucha El Ha'adofa, like we have what Rav Breidin of Ula says in a different context, about that the Chiddush is as far as Ha'adofa, as far as the extra amount. You have a case like this. You have a case that we learned in Masechta Ksuvos. So now we have like this. We know that a daughter is Maisi Adeha, and anything that she finds goes to her father as long as she's a Ktana. What happens if her father passes away and her brothers take over the Yerusha? So now what happens is that there can be a case where they're supporting her, and then they continue to get her Maisi Adeha or her Metzia. There can be a case where she's self-supporting, but now you have also Lo Nitzrucha El Ola HaDofa, that Rav Breidin of Ula pointed out, you can have a case where she's making extra. So you can have, they are supporting her, they're giving her, let's say, $10 a day for food. Meanwhile, she's producing $15 a day, so 10 of it goes to them to pay for, to compensate for the food they're giving her out of the Yerusha. Meanwhile, the other 5 she gets to keep for herself. So the same thing over here, the Braisa is talking about, even so she's not smucha al shulchanai, the point is, whatever goes to her that she'd need for her upkeep, for her expenses, sure, has to go to her. But anything beyond that, the father gets, because after all, she is a Ktana. So even though she's not samoch al shulchanai, therefore we can say there is a case where the father is going to get, namely the extra amount above and beyond the what she's going to need.
So you don't say that she's supporting herself, she should get the whole thing?
No, so that's what I'm saying. So she's going to get whatever is necessary for her to support herself. Because after all, so you have to consider, for example, so she was until now earning $10 a day. Now she has shemes. Now she's out of work because she was injured and she's lying in the bed recovering. So meanwhile, the $10 a day for shemes is being paid to her. But now, let's say, for example, let's say there would be more payments. Let's say there would be above and beyond that, the other payments or whatever. Let's say the Shevis itself ended up being more for whatever reason, then that extra would go to the father. That's what we're saying. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimta l'basraisa." Now let's look at the second braisa. We're saying that the second braisa is talking about the smuchim al shulchanai, that was saying that they're supported by the father, and therefore that's why, that we said the second braisa, that would explain why he's potter in the case of his own children when he injured them, because anyway the payments are going to him. Well, the question is, in that case, gedolim yitin lahem yad, tanin yasa lahem segula, then why is that second braisa saying that if they're adults, then he gives them the money, and if they're ktanim, he makes them a segula, meaning either way he's not keeping the money. Why? If they're smuchim al shulchanai, amai la'aviyem bo'i l'meisi? Shouldn't the money go to the father? Amri. So the answer is, we could say, ki kakopid b'midi d'kachosir. You could say that, you know what, the father would be makbid on, and there'd be a problem of Eva, only something where he himself is losing out money. So in other words, if he himself injured them, and normally we would make him pay, and that would cause Ava. What do you mean? I'm supporting you, and yet I should have to pay also? So never mind. Go start supporting yourselves. So therefore, the Chachamim will potter him from paying them. But the meaning of also Alma like Kopid, but when it comes to something that comes from elsewhere, so something that somebody else is paying, nezek that somebody else does, then like Kopid, he's not so machbid on that. So therefore, because after all, he's not losing out, so therefore you can give them the money and we don't assume that that's going to cause Ava. But the Gemara asks, what about the Metziah, as it says in Bava Metziah, as the Gemara, as Tosfos brings over here, that by Metziah comes from the outside, it's not something that the father is paying out, and yet we say he'd be makbid, and therefore if there's smuchim al shulchanoi, then they have to give it to him. And again, Tosfos compares this with that Gemara over there to see what the exact distinctions is over there. That one point is that there's a difference of there's a difference when the child gets this money. Is his first instinct likely to be to run to his tati and then give him the money or not? There is that distinction to take in mind as well. Anyway, so Metziah comes from Alma, the Kakafid, and yet we say he's Machbid, and therefore the Metziah goes to him, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that is, who says that the difference is not cut, the Mishnah said over there, cotton versus Gadol, you have a similar discussion to hear whether Gadol, Rabbi Yochanan learns means that Gadol means as long when they're self-supporting, then they're called Gadol, and when they're not self-supporting, they're called cotton, whereas Shmuel says that means literally Gadol and cotton in age. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least, and we see that the Metziah is coming to Alma, the father's not losing out anything, and yet we're saying they have to give it to the father, otherwise there's Ava. So the answer, the difference is Rav Chod Ka'osi Luma Alma, the less Lahut Sadr de Gufayo Begava, because in that case, they're having a benefit that comes from the outside, a Metziah, they found something, and they didn't have any tsar from it, so therefore the father is going to be Machbid, and therefore he's going to expect them to give it to him, and if they don't, then he's going to be upset. Abu Chabala, but when it comes to injury, the Islahut Sar de Gufayu, they themselves suffered Sar, Ume Alma Ka'osi Lahu, and it comes from the outside, so then the father is not paying out. Loi Kofid, then we can say the father is not Machbid. So therefore, in other words, the father, he's first, you know, he has Rahmanus on his kids, the kids suffered an injury, so therefore I'm not going to demand that he gives all the money to me. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha'hasim the isfat tzara begufa?" What about though? Now going back to the first brisa, the case of achedim shechol leba, where people injured his young daughter. There you have the same consideration. She had tzara begufa; she suffered physically, or ma'alma ka'asila, and it came from the outside, the kakafid, and yet we're makbid to katoni because the brisa said, we said if somebody else injures her, then they have to pay the father. So we see that even though there was tsar involved, and even though it's coming me'alma, they're still having to pay the father. Now Tosfos brings up the question, so what? Didn't we say before that we're talking about Sheves? So we could say very simply, the first Braisa is focusing on Sheves, the second Braisa is focusing on the other thing, Nezek, Tsar, and so forth. And Tosfos says that no, we assume the same way as by boys, we're saying Yasa Lahem Sgula, and that means even though the Maisia Dehem of the boys don't belong to the father, nevertheless, everything, including Sheves, is included in the Yasa Lahem Sgula, we would assume the same thing is true as far as the daughter. So then there'd be no reason to draw that distinction between the different brises, and Tosfos points out some other possibilities in that as well. So the answer is Amri, we say there's a difference. Hosam de Gabra Kapdonim. The difference is in the first brisa, we're talking about the father is a person who's machbid, Jaha Ein Smuchan al Shulchanin. Look at this. You're talking about a father where his own children, who are ktanim, are not Samuch al Shulchanin. They are, he's not supporting them. They're ktanim, but already he's expecting them to be self-supporting. So I feel of a midi to osilu my alma. So therefore, even something that comes from the outside and where there's tzar kofid, then we can assume he's machbid, and he's going to insist that he should at least be getting some part of it. So we say, again, the basic sheves, which she's supporting herself, therefore the basic sheves she's going to get, but the extra he's going to demand. After all, she's biti ktana, and I have certain rights over her. So therefore it's going to have to go to him.
Even though it's coming from Alma,
and even though there was tzar, because we're talking about evidently this is the kind of person we're dealing with, and therefore we have to do it that way in order to avoid further ava. But delav gaver kapdonahu. But in the second brisa, he's obviously not such a person who's makbid. He doesn't get so angered so easily. After all, he is supporting these children, and maybe even when they're older, even when they're able to be self-supporting, kikakopid. When would he be makbid if they're not going to give him? They're not going to give him the money. Would only be the midi de kachosulah. Only where he himself has to pay out of pocket, namely where he injured them. The midi, the osi lohuma alma like kopid, but something that comes from the outside where he's not going to lose out, then he wouldn't be makben and he wouldn't mind if they keep it. Okay, so the Gemara finishes off my sgula. What is the sgula that we're talking about that we do for the children? Rav Chista on the sefer Torah. Rav Chista says it means you buy them a sefer Torah with the money. The point is, this is something a keren payemasloi. And you have payers from it because meanwhile the child can learn Torah with it. Nowadays that we don't learn from Sifrei Torah, then the pastures it would be something similar like Sfarim or whatever. Rabbi Bar Avuna Amad Dikla De Ochem Init Tamri. Rabbi Bar Avuna says it means it would be a date palm from which he can eat dates. So that would also be a segula. So that's also, there's a keren, there'll be a tree in the future when he grows up, and meanwhile he has payers. Okay. We may as well finish up the next couple of lines. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'chein Amar Shlokish." Now, so we had, so we were saying before that there's a difference between when the father gets the money for the daughter versus when he does not. So the Shlokish said the same kind of thing, like Rav, "Lo zikza turtle avel shvachna urim bilvad." The same way as Rav had said on the top of the Amud that the turtle only gives the father the rights to the shvachna urim, only to the money of kiddushin. So it is also so the Shlokish says the same thing. Therefore, the father is not necessarily entitled to the payment for chavah. With the exceptions that we say, but Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Ptzia. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says even the value, even the money for the actual wound herself, for the actual wound itself, sounds like it means a nezek. So then the Torah is mezaka all of it to the father. So he disagrees with Rab and with Rish Lakish. So the Gemara asks Ptzia Sakadai. What do you mean? If she got wounded, let's say in her face or something, Afilu Rabbi Lozer Loikam Ebayulei Ela Chabola. Even Rabbi Lozer was only asking about the kind of injury that makes her worth less. Where after all, as we said, he has the ability to sell her as an Omar Ivriya, he has the ability to be Makadisher, and therefore Rabbi Lozer was asking the question, will you have an injury that now makes her worth less? Then therefore we can talk about whether the father, for Kedushin or as an Omar Ivriya, can we talk about the father has suffered a monetary loss? But a Ptzia, an ordinary wound, is not something that Afra Samikaspa, it'll heal in a few days, and that's that. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that even that goes to the father? The answer is, even Rabbi Lozer was not asking about a ptia that didn't reduce her value. What we're talking about is where the injury was on her face, and therefore that does make her worth less as an Omer Hevriya or as Kedushin. That would be the... What? So even if it's temporary, it's still temporary. Right now, he could have accepted condition for her, and therefore it's going to be worth less. But the point is that certainly if it's permanent, then so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that all goes to the father, whereas again, Rav and Rish Lakish had said that not. So first of all, the Rif adds, Tsar and Boshe, certainly even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that she gets them. As we said before, Tsar, after all, she's the one who suffered the Tsar. She's the one who suffered the Boshe. The Rosh adds that also Ripui would go anyway to the doctor. The father's not really getting anything out of it. We're only really talking about Nezek and Sheves primarily. So Nezek when it would be a permanent injury, and Sheves when she's recovering, meanwhile, and she can't do work. So then, the Baal Amar actually says that Boshes, the father, would actually get, because the father has a certain Boshes in it as well. Tosfos explains the reason behind the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, like this. There's no question that you have like this. There's an injury right now during her nidus where, again, the father has the ability to be in the Kaddish or during this time. What about, though, this might be a permanent injury where she's going to have a scar for the rest of her life. So now, Rish Lakish, so Rav and Rish Lakish are going to take the view. Look, there's going to come a point when she's out of her father's rishus. Why should all that money go to her father? Whereas Rav Yochanan takes the view, yeah, right now, though, the injury happened when she's in his rishus, and therefore he should get all the money. That's one way Tosfos explains, and then Tosfos explains another point that
she has to live with it.
She has to live with it, right. So that's why she'd get the tzar and the boshes, but yeah. When another way of looking at it, Tosfos says, when it comes to Maisi Adeha, sure, the father gets it, and as we discussed in the previous Sugya, but the question is, as far as what happens that now she's worth less for Kiddushin, does that itself, once he's the Torah is Mezakehim in Kiddushin, does that mean anything that affects Kiddushin, including the fact that now she's worth less on the marriage market because she has an injury on her face? Would that also go to the father? So Rav Yochanan would say yes, and Rish Lakish and Rav would say no, because the fact is only the actual money of Kiddushin itself would go to her, would go to him, rather. So the money for Kiddushin, no question, goes to him. The question is, here you have something that affects the Kiddushin, namely that it makes the price, makes that now she's worth less, so to speak, for Kiddushin. So therefore, would that also go to the father? So that's another way of looking at it. Rish Lakish and Rav would say, no, the Torah is only Mezakehim, the actual Kiddushin money itself, not anything that impinges on the Kiddushin, whereas Rav Yochanan would say they all go together.
Okay. Put on yesterday's share.